SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/Dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.
The team and I go to so much effort to prepare the grounds, the farm, all the infrastructure and so forth. And to have it 2 years without doing that, we still have to plant the tulips. So personally, I got to enjoy them with our team who were working here. But it was such a shame to see such a beautiful field of colour and not have anyone else about to share it with. So to now be open and seeing the smiles on everyone's face as they come through the door, because you can just tell that they're really enjoying the ability to get out up into the hills and into the fresh air that Sylvan offers and all the nature that surrounds our farm. And then when they come in and see the tulips as well, and the blossom trees at the moment and all the colour and sights that we offer, it brings almost a tear to my eye.
Yeah, it's one big colour explosion. It can make you happy, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's some euphoric elements that are here for sure.
Mm-hmm. How big is the festival? How long is the walk if you want to walk through the tulips?
Yeah, so the grounds itself, so the area that when you come through the gates that you can wander around, is around 15 to 20 acres. So part of that is made up of flower fields, which you can get up close and personal with the tulips. So we've got nearly a million tulips planted out there in these beautiful straight rows of all the colours in the rainbow. So that must be about half of the property, I suppose, so 7 to 10 acres of grounds and fields. And then the other half is sort of like set up as a garden. So that's where we have one of the food courts where there's our giant Dutch castle stage, which has all of our live bands. And that area has 5 to 10 food vendors, food trucks, with all different types of foods available. So by the time you walk through the gates, you might go and grab a cup of coffee and then go for a wander around the garden area. You might then stop and have something to eat, sit down, watch one of the bands, and then you might venture on down into the flower fields and take your time to take in all the sights and the smells and the colours that the fields of tulips offer. And then there's another food court down there, so you might grab something else to eat. So by the time you do all that and then you wander back out to the car, you'd be here for at least 3 hours. And then if you were to come with family and friends, you might want to bring a picnic in and find a spot under the trees out in the sunshine or out in the open expanse of grass fields and sit down and let the kids run around and they'll come and go and you sit down and have a glass of wine with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make a day of it. But all the information and the full schedule of what we're doing, your listeners can find at tulipfestival.com.au. And that's useful to look up because there are different things happening on different days. So if you're coming to experience more than just the tulips, then it would be a good idea to look up on the entertainment section to see what's happening on the particular day and choose one that suits you. So we have just celebrated with the Turkish weekend, or we opened the festival with the Turkish weekend. And then, as you said, we've got the Dutch weekend, and then we go on to the school holiday program. So the weekdays have children's entertainment, and then we have a food, wine and jazz weekend. And then at the end of the school holidays, we have Rock the Fields weekend. And then we have an Irish weekend to round us off for the season. So there's a lot to get through. There's a lot of entertainment. So as I said, if there's something particularly you're interested in, then I recommend people get onto the website and have a look.
Yeah. How did this festival start? Because Tessela, it sounds really Dutch. The tulips, it will remind people to the Netherlands.
Yes, of course.
Your grandparents are from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah. So Oma and Opa emigrated from the Netherlands in 1939. Olpa could see that there was a bit of unrest around Europe. There was depression, not much work. He was working on his dad's farm during the day, and he had a little nighttime cheese or dairy and eggs run that he would go around to houses selling his wares. And he then also read a story written by two Dutch ladies that would travel the world writing about the different countries that they visited. And they travelled to Australia, and then they wrote a glowing report about it being a place or a land of opportunity. For those that wanted to work hard, there was plenty of opportunity. So he sort of put all of those things into the mix and decided, well, he needed to, you know, his future was abroad and away from Europe and the unsettledness in Europe. So he went and asked his girlfriend if she would marry him, and then I'm not sure if he told her about the Australia plans at the time or not, but she did agree to marry him. And then they got married and set off for Australia on their wedding day, essentially, on the last boat to leave Europe before the outbreak of the war.
The start of a new life.
Yeah, start of a new life. So they had some dreams and a suitcase full of bulbs. And they travelled to various ports in Australia and eventually landed in Melbourne because they were told that that was the most suitable climate for growing bulbs because of obviously the cooler temperature compared to Sydney. Someone at immigration heard that they were looking for some property, so they brought them out to a farm they knew in Sylvan and to show them the property, and they fell in love with it straight away. The only problem was it was 45 kilometres from Melbourne, and you can imagine in 1939 the roads that far out of the city would have been, you know, dirt tracks, and to travel 45 kilometres in Europe, you'd be in another country. So for them, it was quite an unusual distance. So they decided it wasn't suitable for them. And the one piece of advice my great-grandfather gave Olpa was that you should stick close to the market because that's, you know, that's where you're going to be selling the product. So they settled in Ferntree Gully, which is on the other side of Mount Dandenong, and at about 30 kilometres out of Melbourne. And that's where the train line went to as well, so he could get his, you know, flowers and whatnot into Melbourne quite easily. And after a few years, they outgrew that farm, and then they came back up to Sylvan because they love this place, and they came back to the same farm and asked the farmer if he knew of anywhere else that might be for sale. And the farmer said, well, this one's still for sale. So they bought that, and so we've been in Sylvan since 1945, and when people come and visit the festival, that's the same farm that we've been on. So
wow.
Farmed by my opa and my uncles and my father and all of my aunts, and now farmed by the third generation, myself and our team.
Mm. Yeah, the festival started almost like an accident, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was indeed an accident because they were farming here in Sylvan, which is there's one main road that goes through Sylvan, and their property was located on that. So they were growing their tulips in the front fields. And by the early 50s, more and more people were buying cars and going for day trips up in the Dandenong Ranges. And if they happened to drive past our farm in spring, they would see this field of bright coloured flowers. And whilst we weren't the first to import bulbs to Australia, many people still weren't aware what tulips were. So they were quite an unusual spectacle. So loads and loads of people were jumping the fence to get a closer look at what the flowers were. And the crowds were so big that by 1954, my grandparents decided that, look, enough is enough. We're tired of trying to get these people out of the field. They've decided to open the gates and let everyone in. And entry was by way of a donation, which my grandparents passed on to the Red Cross or donated to the Red Cross. So that's how it started by accident. And then from there, we added facilities all through the ages and we essentially turned it from being the Tulip Farm to being known as the Tulip Farm to being now known as the Tulip Festival because we've got, as we said before, the live entertainment every day and so many activities happening every single day and so much infrastructure that it's really absolutely changed, absolutely changed. And yes, so quite a long time.
Yeah, and those tulips that are growing there, they are there especially for just people to look at them and enjoy them, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, once upon a time we would pick the flowers and sell them in the wholesale flower market. Nowadays, we don't pick any one of them and we leave the 900,000 bulbs that we've got out there flowering. We leave them for the the spectacle that they create for people to visit and enjoy. And it really is. I've been doing this festival since before I could walk. You know, as a younger a brother of my siblings, they would carry me around in my Dutch costume, as was the tradition for all of us. And it was a tradition that we all did. You know, we're brought up with, you know, if you're living in the household, you have to contribute. And the earliest way we were contributing was by a way of working during the Tulip Festival, getting dressed up in our Dutch costumes and our wooden clogs for photo opportunities. Mm. So it's definitely in the blood. And even still to this day, when the fields are a blaze of colour, despite doing it for 45 years, it still takes my breath away. Absolutely does. When it's in full colour, I'll come in the morning when there's hardly anyone about, and you know, I just have to pause and take it all in because it is a spectacle.
It's stunning.
Something that it's really hard to see anything like it anywhere else. Well, in Australia, at least, is a field of brightly lit colours.
Mm, yeah, your Opa Kees and Oma Johanna, where did their passion for the bulbs come from?
Well, they were born into the trade as well. My Opa, he worked on his father's flower farm. So he was born into it where he was, you know, picking flowers and growing bulbs and buying and selling. And Olma, she comes from a line of bulb traders, very successful bulb traders. So her family was all about buying and selling and making their money that way.
Great combination.
Well and truly. Yeah, it was a marriage made in heaven, yeah. I suppose. And I think the story goes that it was the bulbs that they started with were a wedding present from Olma's parents, which would make sense if they were bulb traders. So they got set off on a great path.
Mm, yeah. You already said you're the third generation. Is the fourth generation ready? Getting ready?
Getting ready. Not quite ready. He's 12. He's going into high school next year. So he's not as passionate about putting on his Dutch costume and clogs as I was as a young child. But, you know, I had five siblings older than me who essentially led the way. So it was easy for me to follow the tradition, whereas he's on his own and he's not much of a trailblazer when it comes to putting on costumes and walking around the flower fields for photo opportunities. He's a little bit shy in that respect.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you very much, Paul, and good luck with the festival.
Thank you, Pauline, and do come and say hello if you come and visit.
Wil je nog meer soortgelijke verhalen? Luister via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify of waar je je podcasts dan ook vandaan haalt.